different. Something different is necessary. Sometimes it's necessary for you folks to get away, to see something different, to be in a different environment in order to hear God in a different way. We talked about that a little bit last week. We'll talk a little bit more about it this morning. The next picture. That's what we got to look at for some of the time, because a lot of the time the clouds would roll in, it would snow a little bit, and it's amazing how everything just socks in. Sometimes you can hardly see beyond the first little hill going down. But that's what's there, and a beautiful Rocky Mountain view with the Ghost River in between, which you really can't see much of now, but it's there, and that's inspiring. You know, just as inspiring are the times when you get alone with God and you open the Word of God, or you're just simply meditating and in prayer and you're asking God to speak to you. And God will open up your eyes to see things of the heavenly realm that you can't see unless you take time and make time and get with God. And that's what we did up there. And I think we heard from God in different ways. And the next picture, I love this one. Pastor Ken in the library. It's one of those really cozy rooms in that lodge where you can't see it here, but at least three walls are filled with bookshelves. And it's just an amazing place to go and be quiet and meditate. And of course, another wood-burning fireplace. So every chance we had, we were lighting fires. You didn't know your pastors were pyromaniacs, did you? Maybe that's not such a bad thing, right? Maybe it's not such a bad thing. That's a beautiful picture of Pastor Ken resting and contemplating and meditating and praying. And I think for Pastor Randy and myself, you get away in a setting like that, you gain appreciation for who each other is, because we see each other in an environment where we're not rushed, where we're not hurried. And we've kind of put a limit on phones and all of those kinds of things. And so it's great. And then the next one, we went for a little walk down the hill, quite steep in places, and then we came to this little bridge that goes across the Ghost River. And Pastor Andy is showing off just how strong he is. He can lift up that wooden stick all by himself. That's just amazing. And Pastor Ken there as well. And, you know, it's good to play. It's good to goof around. It's good to just be ourselves. You know, you need to be free to be yourself when you come to this place. You need to be free to be who God has made you to be. And goof around once in a while. Play. Be at home. A gathering of believers ought to be a place where we feel really at home, right? And I trust that you feel at home when you are here. And in the last picture we'll look at for now, I've got two others we'll save for the end. That's some weird guy across the river. And I kind of went ahead of the guys a little bit, and I was waiting for them to come, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And they were waiting on the bridge. I'm not sure if they were waiting for me to, you know, stick my walking stick in the water and part the water so that they could come across on dry ground, or what they were waiting for. But I almost got tired of waiting. Not really. Not really. We all went at our own pace, and we had a great time together. Yeah. We'll just leave the pictures there for now, and we'll come back to the last two at the end of the rest of the message. If you turn in your Bibles to the prophet Haggai in the Old Testament, during one of the times, actually it was getting up the one morning, I woke up quite early, and so I laid in bed, and I got thinking about the prophets in the Old Testament. And I was thinking about, you know, when God calls people to serve him and to follow him, it's always a give-take situation. And that's true with any of us. There's a give and a take between us and God. And God is very, very patient with us. And I'm so glad that he is extremely patient with us. But I was looking for the prophet, and I think it's actually Elisha. Elijah or Elisha? I get those guys. I know which one is which, but I get their, you know, the names mixed up once in a while. Anybody else get those guys mixed up? Anyways, when one of them was called by God, he happened to be out plowing in a field with a team of oxen. Remember that? And when he was called to serve God, this is what he did. He took the plow. There would have been some wood involved in the plow, and he took that plow, and he made an altar. And he took one of the bulls, one of the oxen, and he slaughtered it, and he put it on the altar. And I think, in a sense, what he was doing in so doing was saying, God, you've now called me. I'm going to go do this for you. Now that I've burned the plow, I guess I can't go back. I've got to move forward. I've got to keep moving forward. Because this is a new day. It's a new calling. It's something different. And he went whole hog. And he stepped into it fully, and he gave himself fully. And that's always God's desire for us. When he asks us to serve him, he asks us to jump in with both feet, to climb into it, and to give it our best. And that doesn't mean that God calls all of us into full-time Christian ministry, where we work in a church setting per se, but he calls us into full-time Christian ministry wherever you work, wherever you live. And at different junctures, God calls us into something a little bit different, perhaps. And so we have a choice to make at each one of those junctures. Do I go in with one foot and keep straddling in what I really want to be about? Or do I step in with both feet, with obedience completely to what God has for me in these days and in these moments, trusting that whatever it is, it's good. Even if it's difficult, it's good, because that's where God's calling me to be in these days, in these moments. Let's turn our attention to Haggai. This was at a time, of course, when the people were going back and forth. They had one foot in wanting to be known as God's people, and they had another foot in wanting to do life their way without being obedient to what God had been telling them through the prophets. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. That's what the people were saying. There was a majority saying, it's not yet time to rebuild the house of the Lord. And that's because the majority was very comfortable doing something else, as we will see. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you're putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you now. Go up into the hills and bring down timber and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, it blew away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. It's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Anybody encouraged yet this morning by God's word? Wait, it gets better. It really does get better. So just, here's a couple of thoughts regarding this at this point. The people were struggling and suffering because they had chosen to disobey God. They knew what God had called them to do. They were to rebuild a temple, and they were opting not to. Instead, they were building their homes and making them very fine, very comfortable places to be. And yet God had said, honor me. Finish this temple. Make it what it's supposed to be. Rebuild it. And you'll have blessing. Do things the way I'm prescribing, and you will fare well. Instead, they were experiencing a lot of opposition, a lot of stress in life. Provision wasn't as full as it should have been. But then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. They began to obey. And when they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. And I love this message. And this is where we want to spend a bit of time this morning. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of the Heaven's armies, on September 21st, on the second year of Darius's reign. They heard, and they finally came back in line with what God had asked them sometime prior. And I love what he says. In this translation, it says that the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of these leaders. Sparked the enthusiasm. Some of your translations will say it a little different. Stirred their spirits, right? He stirred their spirits. That's what God did. When we have the word of the Lord before us and we opt to ignore it and go our own way, it does something to our spirit. We become oppressed in our spirit. We become heavy in our spirit. We become distant from God in our spirit. As a matter of fact, sometimes we want to run from the Spirit of God because our spirit is pulling away from what God desires for us. But he woke them up. He stirred them. He woke them as if out of a deep sleep. You know, sometimes have you ever been woken up where you've tried to wake someone else up and it's taken a while? You know, you can't seem to stir them out of their slumber. Some people really go into very, very deep sleep. And it's like
Hey, hey!
That's when we start to check for a pulse. We put our ear close to see if there's breath. And, you know, we might go into a bit of a panic initially. And then we realize they're just off in la-la land, and it's really hard to wake them up. God sometimes feels that about us. The Spirit of God sometimes feels that about us, because sometimes we go to sleep spiritually. We're very much active over here, but we're turning a deaf ear to our loving God, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Wake up! I want you to come back to attention, back to alertness. I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to spark enthusiasm in you. Anybody feel like they need that this morning? They need the Spirit of the Lord to spark some enthusiasm, to wake us up, to stir us in our spirit. Yeah. When we feel like that, then we need to pursue God. When we feel like that, we need to do whatever we need to do to come closer and closer to God. You know, with the people at this juncture, from the prophet Haggai, from his perspective, he was basically saying, you know, the reason you're going through drought, the reason your prophets are drying up, the reason these things are happening to you is because there's sin in your lives. You're doing things, you're putting your perspective on things not where God wants you to have your attention. So come back and pursue God again, and you will find blessing. Haggai's prophecy came at a time when the people of Judah were very vulnerable. And we have our vulnerable times too. We have our deeply vulnerable times. They had been humbled by their exile to Babylon. They were hopeful in their return to the promised land, and then very discouraged by opposition in their rebuilding of the temple that they had quit. But now, 16 years later, with Haggai blaming their lack of food, clothing, and shelter on their failure to rebuild the temple, the Jews were receptive to the message of rebuilding the Lord's house. They had gone through a real spin, and they were becoming receptive again to what God had for them. I'm sure it was one of the joys that Haggai had was to be part of this whole process and to see their hearts being stirred again, listening to the word of the Lord, engaging with their God in obedience to what he had called them to do many years prior. The people of Judah listened. And when we hear God speaking to us, we have the option of listening or turning away. God's hope for us is that we listen really carefully to what he is saying to us. And as the people began to place their attentions and their affections back where they should have been all along, their lives began to change again. And through, in this case, the physical act of rebuilding the temple, the people began to indicate a shift in their spiritual lives, moving from devotion to self towards devotion to God. And that's a good place for us to examine our own personal lives and the life of our church generally. Where is our devotion? Is it devotion to self or is it devotion to God? The people had forgotten God, instead focusing on their own interests. It was time for them to consider their ways. Nothing was more important for the Jews than to show that the Lord was at the center of their thoughts and actions. So Haggai directed them to finish rebuilding God's temple. They wanted God's blessing. And in this case, Haggai was basically saying, put your money where your mouth is. Okay, your homes are well established. You've got beautiful places. But the temple remains unfinished. Time to get refocused. And they did. And amazing things happened. The Jews who emigrated from Babylon to their original homeland of Judah faced intense opposition, both external and internal. But it was Haggai who focused on the internal opposition that they faced, namely their own sin. The Jews had thoughtlessly placed their own interests before the Lord's interests, looking after their own safety and security without giving consideration to the status of the Lord's house. Now, let's look at where we are today. This is a fine place. This is a beautiful building. And in this message, what I'm not saying is, okay, now it's time to get busy and do something about this building. That's not where we're going here. That's not the essence of what I believe God is saying to us through this passage today. Because we know, as the scripture says, that the Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands. How we look at the building can be a reflection on our affections, one way or another. But of greater import is our relation to each other, the church, the people of God. Our personal walk with the Lord is of extreme importance. And then how we function with other believers within the body of Christ is really, really important. Always has been, always will be. Let's go to the last two slides. You can just leave the lights on. In this particular slide, I guess it's the last three slides. In this particular slide, I was going to show this with this one earlier, so I won't make too many comments on it. Other than this, here's Pastor Ken texting. He's spending time on what's important. Why? Because the person he's texting with is Carol, his wife. Even though he is away, and we have dedicated this time to be together as pastors, he is staying current with his life. Because honestly, after we finished our grand time together as pastors, communing together, praying together, thinking together, planning together, at the end of that time, we each went our separate ways back to our wives, which is most important. I love those guys, but I'm sorry, Pastor Randy, I love my wife more. I had suggested to the guys when we got up there that it might be kind of fun if we exchanged our phones with one another for 2 or 3 days. And we answered our wives' texts, unknowing what they were talking about, just from our perspective, just to have a little bit of fun. But they all kind of looked at me and said, yeah, no, that's not a good idea. We didn't do it. I think we were either each afraid of each other's spouses or very afraid of our own. Pastor Ken had it right. Now, unfortunately, he's not here this morning to confirm or deny exactly what he was doing that time. You can ask him about that later. But the next picture, We had finished our hike, and there's Pastor Ken outside having a little break under a gazebo, just resting, extremely contented. And it made me think of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I think this is for us as well this morning. Last week, if you were here, we remember watching that video about 22, 23 minutes long. John Ortberg talking about it all goes back in the box. We can work, establish kingdoms and make money and say we're going to go here and go there and do all of these things. And Jesus says in that parable of the man who's intending to do all of those things, he says, "You fool. Be about the things that are most important in life." And I've enjoyed our times with Pastor Ken. He comes with such wisdom and depth. So does Pastor Randy. Pastor Ken's a little further down the road. And he comes with such depth. And I just look at that picture, and I saw Pastor Ken sitting there, and I thought, there's a man who is so content. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and following, it says this: "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth," or great gain, as some translations put it. "After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we cannot take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the truth, from the true faith, and pierced themselves with many arrows or sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." And so on. I just saw within Pastor Ken this image of someone who is godly and content. And he's got so many amazing stories. The places that God has led him and he's walked into in faith and obedience. And so many of you have similar stories. Or you've said yes to God with your business, and you've stepped into opportunities, and God has shown himself faithful, and he has proven himself through you to other people who need to see the reality of God in this world. And I'll close with this, the next picture. When we ducked our heads into this chapel, that atmosphere hit me just about more than any of the other places we were in. And again, this is a place that's dedicated to God to just get away and experience his presence. We walked in there, then the first thing that hit me was that stone in the middle. It's a big, heavy slab of unrefined stone. It must be very heavy. Maybe close to a ton, I don't know. Well over 1,000 pounds anyways. And the first thing that I thought of when I saw this stone, and then I began meditating on this that night when I was going to sleep, all I could see was that stone. And I thought, that's an altar. That's an altar. And my mind went to an altar that I had seen many years prior when I visited Israel. Some of you have been to that same spot where the temple used to stand. The same temple that we just talked about this morning, built, destroyed, built, destroyed again. What stood on that spot at one time was nothing. But it was a place where probably, if not there, very near there, was what was known as Mount Moriah. It was a place of sacrifice. Abraham went there at God's direction to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And of course, God was testing his heart. He had no intention of making Abraham sacrifice his son in that fashion. But as I began to think about that place of sacrifice, and as I saw that stone altar, so to speak, I had this sense come to me, and I pictured myself walking over to that stone altar and climbing up onto the altar and lying face down on the altar, spread out. And I'm just praying. I'm in that posture in my bed. Lights are off. And I just started praying to God, God, what you desire is for people to be given to you, mind, soul, body, spirit. As I'm lying before you, picturing myself on that altar, I said, Lord, if there's anything in me that doesn't belong, if there's some affection with material possessions, if there's some attitude, if there's some sinful tendency in me, Lord Jesus, I lay myself before you and I give myself to you. Remembering what the scripture says about that we're supposed to die to self and give everything to God. And I just laid there and I had wave after wave after wave of just a sense of drawing closer and closer and closer to God. And I know that the words that I was saying within my spirit to the Lord were very genuine. And at the same time, I think I was trembling. Because you know what it's like when you say those things. He might just take you up on it. And he might show you things that you need to let go of, that I need to let go of. Here's the thing. He doesn't come and rip them out of you. He shows you. And so very kindly and gently says, now it's up to you. Now it's up to you. Will you give that to me? Because I'll carry that for you. I'll deal with it. But you got to let go. You got to let go of it. And in this next season, as we talked last week, to be involved in the unrelenting elimination of hurry in our lives. Hurry is one of the biggest things that keep us from drawing close to God. And we talk about being hungry and thirsty for God. We sang about it again this morning. I know that's our heart. But I think sometimes some of us struggle with actually stepping into that position of unhurriedness. I think what God is asking us to do is have an honest examination of everything we're involved with, especially relative to our time. Are all of the activities we're engaged in really what God intends for us to draw closer to Him? And to be so close to Him, we're just before Him. Moving forward, we know that God has absolutely astounding things that He's holding out for us as a congregation. Let's have the worship team come up. please. Astounding things, amazing things, as he always does. As he always does. But this is an opportunity for us as believers. Again, we're still near the start of the year. I'm going to challenge, I'm going to invite, I'm going to ask. Can I be really honest with you this morning? When I first started in the ministry, I was just revved up and full of energy and enthusiasm. And the way it was back then, it was like pastors did everything. And I let myself get into that mode. A lot of people did a lot of things too in the church, don't get me wrong. But here's the thing, we were very busy people, really busy at times. And I know that even within the first few years, I just about burnt myself out. Some of you have been pastors, you know what I'm talking about. And some of you have done the same thing in your professions, in your work. You've allowed other people to set your agendas, and you've run after everything. And sometimes we're running after everything to run from ourselves, because we don't know how to be still and quiet, or we're running in order to impress someone else. Maybe to impress God, maybe to impress someone else. But as soon as I began to experience those things and I began to take a look around and say, why are people in our churches so busy? And I really began to get burdened by this. And there were different times I would have messages and preach and teach and encourage. I'd sit down with people in personal sessions together. And I would just say, God, why? Why are these people so busy? And I would encourage people, slow down. Slow down. If you don't slow down, you're going to hit a wall. And then your marriage is going to be in trouble. Your family's going to be in trouble. Your health is going to be in trouble. Oh, I hear you, Pastor. I hear you, Pastor. I've done too many funerals of good people who were way too young, who burnt themselves out, hit the walls, slammed up against life. And all through those years, they had had pastors, been to seminars, telling people, slow down, put on the brakes. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. And my hope and prayer is, and I know that as Pastor Ken and Pastor Randy and I talked about these things when we were away, that's one of our concerns for our flock, is the level of busyness that people enter into. My hope and prayer is that we will experience life just like Haggai did, where our people actually say, you know something? I didn't realize how busy I was until I started slowing down and I caught my breath and I started to pay attention to the things that God really had for me to be involved with, that is life-giving. Because whatever God asks us to be a part of, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we're going to sing this song in closing this morning. And as we sing, we're going to invite you, if you would like to come and pray at the altar this morning, we'd love to have you come. And so Matt and Cheryl, why don't you come up and join us up here? And Terry and I, we'll be up here too. And if anyone just wants to come at the altar and pray, we'd love for you to do that. But I'm going to encourage you in this next week. I know we're going to get into life groups and all of these other things again in this next week. Things kind of get ramped up again after Christmas. If you need to just get aside with someone and talk, man, as pastors, we're always here for you. Make an appointment. Let's talk. Let's chat. Let's pray. We're never too busy to spend time with our people. If it's one thing, I always want to make sure that I'm not running so crazy doing all kinds of things that I don't have time for the people in the church. That's my commitment to you. I'll set other things aside. Meetings are good, but spending time with you as people is where I need to be. So Terry, would you come up here too? And let's stand together. We're going to sing this song as a closing song. And if you'd like to come up and pray, we'd love to receive you this morning in prayer. This is a great song to close with this morning. Let's sing this from our hearts. May this be a prayer for us today.